was this old timer. He sat on the riverbank and he was obviously awaiting a nibble. Though really fishing season hadn't really started yet. And as he was sitting there with his fishing pole in the water, a uniformed officer came up behind him and stood very quietly for a couple of minutes. The old timer inquired, "You the game warden?" "Yup." Unruffled, the old man began to move the fishing pole from side to side. Finally, he lifted the line out of the water, pointing to the minnow on the end, wiggling, and said, "Just teaching him how to swim." Then there were those two enthusiastic fishermen they had met on vacation, and they began swapping stories about all the different fish that they had fished places, you know, the kind of tackle that they used, the best bait, and finally about some of the fish that they had caught. And then one of them told of his vicious battle that he had with a 300-pound salmon. The other man listened intently. He frankly admitted that he had never caught anything quite that big. However, he told about the time that he had thrown his line in and his hook had snagged a lantern from the depths of the lake. And the lantern carried a tag that said it had been lost in 1912. And the strangest thing of all about this lantern, it was still lit. So for a long time, the first man said nothing. And then he took a really long, deep breath and he said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take 200 pounds off my fish if you'll put the light out in your lantern." You know, fish stories, you really gotta love them. It brings to mind today's stories from the gospel, from the lectionary text, from Mark and from Jonah. Mark calls those four anglers, Andrew, Simon, James, and John, and he says, "Let's make you fishers of people." And then the champion of all stories in the Bible about a fish, Jonah. So let's hear again about Mark. You see, Jesus, he was strolling along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he approached Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. And while they were casting their nets into the water, you see, they were anglers, like the old English term, Jesus said, "Immediately, follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And what do? They immediately leave their nets and their life and everything that they knew, and they followed. And so they're walking along together a little farther on down the shore, and they come upon James and John, two more brothers. They're sitting in their boat, they're mending their nets, they're cleaning and doing the things that they needed to do to get ready to go fishing for that day. And immediately, Jesus called them and they followed. They left their nets, they left their father, they left the hired hands, they left everything. And they followed Jesus. Well, and then there's Jonah. You know, he was told to go and preach at Nineveh, to proclaim the message that God had told him. And what's he do? Because he doesn't want to do that, he runs. And he ends up on a boat. And then there's this big storm, and so he ends up getting thrown over, and then he ends up in the belly of a fish. And then he listens to God. After he's thrown up on the shore, he listens to God, and he goes, granted with an attitude, to tell the message to the Ninevites. And he tells them one line, and they repent. And God doesn't send calamity upon them. Well, these anglers, Simon and Andrew and James and John and Jonah, they're all just average people just like us. Common, everyday people. Where were they when they were called? They weren't in church. They weren't on a spiritual retreat. They were at their work. They were catching fish. They were mending nets. They were going about their normal routine. You see, Jesus isn't limited here to the church. He can and often does meet us in the midst of our everyday lives. And maybe even when we're sitting on the shore of the creek catching fish. Jesus offered real life. Something more than eating and sleeping and breathing. More than getting up and going to work and going to bed. Real life, honest to God life. The kind of life that matters more than nets and boats and family businesses. The kind of life that is so full, that you can only have it if you're willing to give up everything else, which means if you're willing to change. You see, the places that we'll go when we're willing to change. Jesus said, follow me. Tag along. Hang with me. Be with me. And maybe that's a lesson that we might need to learn. Because you see, these folks became disciples because they were around Jesus. They picked up on the things that Jesus thinks are important. They saw what Jesus cared about and what he got upset about. They learned what his priorities were. You see, the more time we spend with Jesus, prayer, worship, community building, being the body of Christ together, Bible study, communicating, talking, the better disciples we become. And Jesus had a task. I will make you fishers of people. You see, you have some skills already. Now you just need to put that to work in God's realm. And really, that's primarily the task of what it means to be a Christian, to be a disciple. Cast the nets, bait the hooks, reach outside the boat. Now, I think about churches, and I think about all different kinds of churches throughout the centuries, and you know, we don't really take that task super seriously. And that's where Jonah comes in. Because you see, the story of Jonah offers some help in that. When we realize that we might be reluctant witnesses, it's not anything new. Jonah was a reluctant witness. And look what happened to him. God just kept working. And sometimes we are a bit reluctant in our response to follow. Sometimes the call, follow me, might get ignored for a while, and then we remember Jonah, and it can't be ignored. And maybe we might be feeling like we're using the wrong bait, the wrong words. And again, remember Jonah. He had one line, repent, and the city was changed. My point is this. God can and will and does use the strangest witnesses to accomplish the reign of God. Let yourself go, bait the hook, cast the net, reach out. Be like those first anglers on the shore. Oh, the places you'll go when you do that. And be patient. Because, you know, that was part of my problem with fishing, to be patient, to wait for something to catch on that line. My cousins used to say, just sit there. I'm like, well, if I'm going to be sitting here, give me a book. I'd rather be reading. But we need to be patient because it takes perseverance. So if you give up after a few minutes, a few casts, a few bites, or a few nibbles, you're never going to catch a fish. And it's the same with fishing for people. You have to keep on extending the invitation, giving your efforts to take time to have an impact, to let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Follow me and I will make you fishers of people, says Jesus. Follow me. Come on. Tag along. Hang with me. be with me. And a simple, straightforward invitation which we can echo. And when we do echo it, it makes all the difference in the world. For all the allure of fancy church buildings and the charm of the world's greatest preachers, or a pastor of the most friendliest congregations, they pale in comparison to the hand of the person who reaches out to their friend and says, their neighbor, their colleague, someone they don't even know real well, come on, come with me. Hang with me. Come on, let's go to church. Follow me and I will make you fishers of people. They dropped what they were doing immediately and they came along. And so now Jesus says to us, his 21st century friends, follow me and I will make you fishers of people. And oh, the places that you'll go. Our response, how about it? Okay, Lord, let's do it. Let's go fishing. Will you join me? Amen. Let us fish for people. Let's go fishing.